Now, to David Patel, who is an Iraq scholar at Stanford University. Welcome back to the program, David Patel.
Thank you very much.
As you look ahead to the elections and the inevitable post-election analyses we're going to read next week, what's your caution for us here?
I think it's important to keep in mind what's at stake in this election. This election is one step in a much longer political process. It's important to remember that the main goal, aside from choosing a president and two deputies, of this parliament is to write a permanent constitution. That has to be done by August 15th. Then there will be a national referendum by October 15th, in which any three provinces, the so-called Kurdish veto, although now we can also call it a Sunni Arab veto, they have to approve that constitution, a national referendum, and then there are going to be new national elections by December 15th. So the shelf life of this parliament is only 11 months.
So if we in fact see that Sunni Arab participation in the election on Sunday is very low, that is by no means a lockout of Sunni Arabs from future participation in a parliamentary governed Iraq.
Definitely not. And it's important to remember that just because a party is boycotting the elections does not mean that they're not going to be part of the constitutional writing process. In fact, there's a number of parties, like the Council of Sunni Clergymen and the Iraqi Islamic Party, which is basically the Muslim Brotherhood in Iraq. Elements of both of them have said they're boycotting the election, but they are very open to participate in writing a constitution during this interim period. So their attitude is basically no elections under occupation. But yeah, we'll participate in constitution writing under occupation.
What do you feel, though, about if there were potentially a rather low rate of participation, period, because of threats of violence? That would place a damper on things, regardless of constitution writing proceeding this year.
I'm still not convinced of that. It is a 5 to 10 year process of rebuilding Iraq. And if you look at it in that respect, I think they're still on track. I think the one caution I have is I'm putting a lot of faith in the constitutional writing process. A constitution is just a piece of paper without the institutions and the expectations of behavior behind it, in the sense that individual actors find it in their self-interest to respect those rules. So just because this new parliament will write a constitution, they also need to develop the institutions and create the incentive structures where parties in the future, Sunni, Shia, groups from different regions, all sorts of different political actors, find it in their self-interest to respect those rules that are being agreed on in the constitution that it will be written. And one of the checks on that will be this veto in the October 15th referendum.
Take us back to this notion of the Kurdish veto and how what the Kurds achieved as a guarantee for themselves might now in the future be exercised possibly by Sunni Arabs.
For 10 years, the Kurds have been able to develop independent political institutions, social institutions, administrative bureaucracies in the north of Iraq. And one of the key issues, keeping the Kurds engaged in a unified Iraq, is how do you integrate them back in? So the Kurds are very concerned about how they're going to be integrated. And one of the guarantees that they demanded in the interim constitutional period to participate in this whole process was that they will have a veto. And initially, this would allow the three Kurdish provinces to veto it. But at the same time, it'll allow any three provinces, such as majority Sunni Arab provinces, to veto it if they wanted to.
Well, David Patel, good to hear from you again.
Thank you very much for having me on.
David Patel, scholar and Iraq expert at Stanford University, spoke to us from Stanford, California.